be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be? For I have no relations with a man." And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And with that, the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
On Good Friday, you heard the lament of a preacher complaining that the Feast of the Annunciation was moved because of Holy Week to after the Easter octave, and that that would be the last time that that would occur until the year 2157. For the rest of our lifetime, it would be the last time that there would be this collision of liturgical solemnities, liturgical feasts, liturgical celebrations on March 25th. But this translocation of the Feast of the Annunciation to April 4th this year does have its benefit, because we celebrate the Incarnation every day. It's important for us not to let it be the celebration one day a year. That every day, because of the Lord's own institution, he comes down and he dwells among us. And so to move it from March 25th every once in a while is something quite spiritually propitious for us, so that we can make sure that this feast gets properly acknowledged and lived every day God gives us. Today, we celebrate the Solemnity of the Annunciation, not only the day after Divine Mercy Sunday, but within this extraordinary Jubilee of Mercy. It's important for us to grasp what St. Faustina acknowledged in her diary, paragraph 1745. She talked about the unfathomable mystery of the words becoming flesh, God dwelling within us, as she wrote, mercy incarnate. That to celebrate the incarnation means to celebrate the enfleshment of God's merciful love. If we go back to the prophecy given by Isaiah to Ahaz in today's first reading, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Could have easily been, he shall be called Emmanuel, Emmanuel Hesed, which means mercy is with us, because God is his mercy. The way that he always relates to us is mercy. And that's what was conceived in the womb of the Blessed Virgin, mercy himself. In the responsorial psalm in the letter to the Hebrews today, we see the main shift between the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, they knew that they had to make expiation for their sins. How to do that? And God was preparing them, in a sense, for what would come with the Lord. He was teaching them about this need. And so you had the temple sacrifices of all the animals. You also had the red heifer, the scapegoat who would be sent out. There were lots of signs of what would eventually come. But in both today, we hear sacrifice or oblation you didn't wish, but here's to obedience you gave us. Holocaust, sin offerings you sought not. Then I said, behold, I come. The letter to the Hebrews, it applies this directly to Jesus. It's impossible that the blood of bulls and goats takes away sin. For this reason, Christ came into the world, saying, quoting from this psalm, sacrifice and offering you didn't desire, but a body you prepared for me. Holocaust and sin offerings you took no delight. Then I said, as it is written of me in the scroll, behold, I come to do your will, O God. That the real sacrifice that God wanted to expiate our sins was a sacrifice of obedience, lived in a body with a particular desire in mind. We know what that desire was. Jesus himself announced it in the gospel when he said, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. So when we think about the incarnation, we conflate all of these things in one. God's plan from the beginning was not that we would be sacrificing animals outside of us, not just as a sign, but as an external means for the expiation of our sins. That's not what God was intending. And it wasn't just what God was intending, that he himself would come into our world, take on our body for that sacrifice out of mercy. That was only the provisional step, as important as that is, and that's what we celebrate today, as awesome and unfathomable a mystery as that is. But God's great plan goes even more. He took on a body so that we could become one with that body and make that same sacrifice together with him to the Father, so that we might be able to say, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, but not just that body, blood, soul, and divinity, but myself as a part of his mystical body in expiation of my sins and the sins of the whole world. That's the ultimate plan of God, not just that God would enter the world and take on humanity, but as we prayed in the opening prayer, so that through this mystery we might become sharers in his divine nature. And that divine nature is Hesed, so that we might become sharers in his divine mercy. not just as recipients, but as cooperators and givers. We see what our cooperation is supposed to be in the response of the Blessed Virgin Mary in today's Gospel. When the Archangel Gabriel comes to her and she's initially troubled because of the theophany, says, "Hail, full of grace." To be full of grace, as St. John Paul II reminded us in Redemptoris Mater, is to be full of God. It means to be full of mercy. She was full of mercy in a prevenient, we could also say a preventive way. Prevenient means coming before, 47 or so years before Jesus extended that mercy in his body on the cross, the body he had taken from her. But it's also in a sense preventive. As we look at the great, great saints, as we look at the Blessed Virgin Mary, it wasn't as if she didn't need mercy because she hadn't sinned. But it was because of that mercy that she didn't sin. She cooperated with it. It was still her freedom, but she was cooperating with that type of presence of God within. And even if we're not on death row, even if we're not serial killers, even if we haven't committed a whole score of mortal sins, it's not that we needed God's mercy less than someone who has. But as the great mystics have taught us, God, out of the abundance of his mercy, poured himself out to us in such a way that because of his grace, we didn't go that direction. To be full of grace means to be full of mercy, to be full of God. The Lord is with us always in his mercy. Immanuel Hesed, we could say. At the very end of this mystery, after the Archangel Gabriel makes God's plans for the salvation of the human race plain and her participation in it, she responded with her great fiat, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord." She was going to allow all of God's will to take place according to his word, according to his plan of mercy. And that's why just a few days from here, when she would meet in the visitation her cousin Elizabeth, and Elizabeth would praise her for her faith, she would burst out by saying, "His mercy is from generation to generation to those who fear him." She would remember the promise of mercy to Abraham and to our fathers in every generation. It was all a plan of mercy. Cardinal O'Connor used to obsess about the poem from Father Duffy that you could probably all recite by heart. But you know, there's that part toward the end that he used to like to quote the most, of the mother of that wandering word. She was a mother of mercy, making him his first pilgrimage as he would bring his mercy to others. From that point forward, nothing would be casual or small, but with light invested. You could also say with mercy invested. Terrible in a sense, but also full of the light of that merciful love. In your vocation, sisters, you're all called to be mothers of that merciful word, taking him on this journey to those who are in great need, urgent need in many cases, of the Lord's mercy. And the Lord wants you to be filled with his grace, this mercy, to overflowing, so that just like Mary, having received this gift, immediately brought mercy to others in the enfleshment of her son growing within, so will you. Today we consecrate ourselves anew to this great mystery in Mary's own consecration, in the consecration of her son growing within. Today we do that by the gift of God's mercy. And we ask the Lord to bring that mercy to its completion. By his mercy, he's given us his vocation. By his mercy, he will sustain it. As we prepare to become tabernacles of the eternal word, in which Jesus, just like in Mary, started small in a sense, but that mystery of mercy continued to grow within her womb. So as St. Ambrose says, all of us are mothers of the Word, not according to the flesh so much as according to faith, when we conceive that Word with a generous heart. Let us ask Mary to help us to cooperate fully with this mystery, so that God's mercy might grow in us, and that it might truly overflow to everyone we meet. God has prepared not just the body of His Son, but He's given us a body and a soul so that we might fully cooperate, and that the Lord's mercy may take on our own flesh as Christ's mystical body, going out and offering together with Christ this sacrifice for the world's salvation. O unfathomable mystery. The Word of God takes flesh. The Son of God is born. Mercy incarnate. May St. Faustina help us to continue to ponder this mystery evermore. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.